During this morning session, we'll be covering verses 12 through 15 of chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service. Do a little backtracking. Yesterday evening we heard this very significant sloka, the three features of the Absolute Truth, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. They're all three in the Advaita Tattva realm. The significance of that in the flow of the verses is that these three features are all together to be understood as the Absolute Truth. And going backwards, those who are in pursuit of Parabhakti, the highest attainment of life, perfection of life, should be seriously inquisitive into the nature of the Absolute Truth. So what's the Absolute Truth? These three features constitute the Absolute Truth. Bhagavan being the consummate feature, the compelling feature. I was thinking of another example. You got a lot of zippers there. Thinking of another example, just like Bhakta Jeff here is visiting us from outside of Seattle. He's never been here before, at least in this congregation. So one thing is to know that there are devotees here, and they exist. That's like sat. There's an existence aspect. And not only the devotees exist, but there's some place where they reside. There's their home, and then there's the temple, and wherever they may be, they exist somewhere. And a localized, not just exist, but there's a localized feature. And after some time meeting the devotees and getting to know them on a personal level, that's the more complete, the most complete understanding. So you'll know they exist, they have some location. If you want, also more deeply understand their nature, their personality, their qualities. So these Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan features are similarly pervasive. Sat, the existence of the Absolute. There's a localized feature of the Supreme within the heart, Paramatma. And there's a personality. And there's loving exchanges with that personality. Transcendental loving dealings on a personal level. And devotional service is the medium. This Parabhakti is the medium for realizing Bhagavan. And through realization of Bhagavan, one realizes the other features of the Absolute Truth. And we'll go back a couple more steps to the earlier verses. This is review, but it connects to the verses we're going to be discussing today. There were three verses, 8, 9, and 10, that we're discussing. We use this term, subsidiary forms of Dharma. Like, they are supported by Paradharma. They're also Dharma, but their merit is to be understood in terms of attaining Paradharma. Western culture, or, you know, the culture of no culture, really doesn't place so much merit on duty. It's like, you know, if it feels good, do it. Or just do it. That's the culture. Be yourself. Just let it all hang out. Just do it. Without any standard of what's duty, what's to be done, what's not to be done. Cultured people have some sense of what's to be done, what's not to be done, what's duty. Different ways of saying it. So, the Bhagavatam also deals with duty. the language is different. It's dharma, but it's duty. And then, what should I do? That's Arjuna's dilemma. And it's a classic. Like, looks awful, but it's my duty. And here's all the reasons why it looks awful. I don't want to do my duty. I'll just karma sannyas. I'll just like renounce. I'll stop being a kshatriya. I'll just become a mendicant and go off and live in a mountain somewhere and live in a cave and be peaceful. Chant Om and read Vedanta Sutra. Become Brahman realized. So I don't have to do my duty. Karma sannyas. And Krishna's compelling arguments, that's not your duty. It's not just your duty to fight, but it's your duty to act in your relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And guess what, Arjuna, that's me. And this is what I want, so think about it. What do you want to do? I want to be in my relationship with you. And that then one can have that realization of Bhagavan and Paramatma and Brahman in a proper way, not an incomplete way. Complete understanding of the other features of the Absolute Truth. So then, okay, I'm on board. I'm going to go on this path of Paradharma. But then, what should be my purpose? Those that attended the Japa retreat know what this word Sankalpa means. What's my intention? So the Bhagavatam is teaching, don't put on your sankalpa list, I want sense gratification. Oh, I'll make it mild, but I want my necessities of life. And translated, it's I want sense gratification. It's not just I want necessities of life so I can go on doing my service to Krishna. I want a comfortable life. I want a standard of living that I'm comfortable with. That's what I want. And I'm doing my devotional service, and if this comfort level gets pinched, you know, I don't know if I can do my devotional service. Anyway, one should not aspire for sense gratification or heavenly destination. Happiness and material happiness in this life, prosperous life in this life, and heavenly destination. No. Should be apavarga, ultimate liberation. And in the pursuit of ultimate liberation, if facilities do come, it should not be deployed in sense gratification, but in service to the pursuit of the Absolute Truth. I can accept my necessities, just like Isavasyam Idam Sarvam, the first mantra of Ishopanishad, accept what is my quota for my maintenance, the self-preservation, in the language of the verses that we were reading. Text 15. For self, excuse me. Text 10. Self-preservation. So I can go on doing my service to Krishna. Except that much, not otherwise. So we have duty, we have the fruits of duty, we have the ultimate objective of the lesser duties is this higher duty. And we also heard that a standard of how you value or rate or rank or evaluate, how you evaluate how well you have progressed in this paradharma is the attraction for hearing and chanting. And we heard that this hearing and chanting, Jiva Goswami has said, that Suta Goswami or Vyasadeva are placing in this really high position, topmost position, the activity of hearing and chanting to attain the goal, more hearing and chanting. The goal of the hearing and chanting is one becomes attached to Krishna. That's the goal. Not to get this other stuff, but to get attachment to Krishna. Bhakti is our attraction to hear about Krishna and to chant about Krishna, to absorb our thoughts in Krishna. And by absorbing your thoughts in Krishna, the noise of this material circumstance that we live in subsides. I give a little practical example. This is a mundane example, but it fits. 2 years ago, I attended a whole series of Rath Yatras, and by attending those whole series of Rath Yatras, I was exposed to a lot of sun, like a lot of sun. And I started getting this skin rash, and I was concerned. Like, not besides it itched, I was concerned. I've heard, I don't know anything about it, there's skin cancer. So I wanted to check it out. I want to make sure this isn't one of those things. So I went to a dermatologist. I was in Houston. And the devotees took me there because Guru Prasad Swami also has some skin problems. And this was supposed to be like a really good guy, really good dermatologist. I was like, you know, you're in good hands with doctor, whatever his name was. Okay, so I went to his office. And I sat in his office and there was stuff all over his walls, like just trivia and, you know, stuff. Little saying, little drawing, little this, little that. And I was in his office for like 15, 20 minutes. And finally, doctor, I forget what his name is, came in. And I said, you know, you got a lot of stuff on your walls here. He said, it's purposeful. He said, because people are sitting here in the office, they're in anxiety about whatever it is their physical thing is, and they're just absorbed in their physical thing, and it gets like, they get all mental about it. So all this stuff is to take their mind off whatever's going on with their body so I can treat them and they can be peaceful. He was an intellectual, not just like a comical person, but an intellectual person. He had studied what happens to the mind. When you think about your problem, what happens? It gets bigger. It doesn't get bigger. It seems to get bigger. And bigger. And bigger. And it's the magnifying glass. The mind is like, it gets so big, you're crushed. You can't move. You become catatonic. Suffocating. I have this problem. And it's, you know, you're making a mountain out of a molehill, as they say. Now, the core problem of material life is we forgot Krishna. And the remedy is to remember Krishna. But then the devotee says, well, I could remember Krishna, but I got this problem. And it's consuming my mind, my problem. And it's not just this one, it's then we think about it, there's like a whole bunch of problems. But there's this really big one. What do I do? Think of Krishna. Oh, come on, Prabhu. Help me with my problem. Okay, there's this, the remedy. You can deal some practical things, but don't deal with the practical things without the first thing. If you don't put the first thing first, you're not going to get to first base. You're just going to be daivihesha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya, and infinitely struggling and struggling, and guess what? The material energy is stronger. But mamayivapadyante mayamitam trantite. Oh, that's too simple. Krishna's made it simple. Just go there. But what about my problem? Hey, struggle for a while longer and see if you like it, see if you get anywhere. But here's this other option. Go there. Well, how do I go there? Hearing and chanting. Really? Hearing and chanting. And we're going to read some verses now, 12, 13, 14, 15, where it's this process of hearing and chanting and knowledge and detachment and realization of the absolute truth are, it just goes down another level, more deeply. And like, how do you do it? It's not like a technique, precisely, but how it works. And you're on the other side. Wow. So let's hear from Sutta Goswami how it works. going to read the translation. Well, I'll read the Sanskrit for text 12. Tachchadadana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyanti atmani chatmanam bhaktya shruta grahitaya. The seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, these verses are sequential. The one is building upon the other. How can we realize this absolute truth in full? We take up the process of devotional service. By the process of devotional service, sincerely performed, knowledge and detachment follow. Prabhupada gives this example of the queen and her ladies-in-waiting. So, ladies-in-waiting isn't so much like attendants. So, the queen is moving about the palace of the king. And as she moves, her attendants move here and there. But the devoted queen, not the selfish one, but the devoted queen, she's not so much concerned about this and that, the various things the attendants want to do. She's focused on one thing, the king, and her role as assisting and serving the king. So similarly, like that, the devotee who's practicing sadhana bhakti properly or para bhakti properly, it's one thing, very focused. And by Krishna's arrangement, some attendant features are supplied by Krishna. Here's the knowledge that you need. Here's the detachment that you need. Here's the qualities that will decorate you so that you can be pleasing to me when you come before me. Everything that we need is achieved by this one thing. That's called faith, right? Shraddha shabde vishvas kahesu dridha nishchaya. Krishna bhakti. What Chaitanya is teaching. Faith is that if you just achieve this one thing, Krishna bhakti, sarva karma kritahoya, all other desirable things will be there. Just become the servant of the king, the queen, or the one so devoted to Krishna, whatever it is that you require, Krishna will supply that. Yoga kshema vahamyaham. That's how it works. It's the loving relationship with Krishna and how that dynamic works. Whatever it is that we require. Knowledge and detachment and purification and nice qualities and whatever you need. Krishna's got a big warehouse. He's very happy to supply. Do we want it? The real factor is, do we want Krishna? We want our relationship with Krishna. So, the inquisitive spirit spoken of previously is hearing about Krishna, not just like get some Krishna points, but your relationship with Krishna. Not a scorecard, a report card, or 5 gold stars after your name because you did a lot of hearing and chanting, but attachment to Krishna. That's what's wanted. So, the seriously inquisitive student, Shraddhadana, with faith, so seriously inquisitive, student or sage, the beginning or the mature stage of the process of inquiry, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that absolute truth. That's the how-to, realized text 11. By Paradharma, by that seriously inquiry, hearing and chanting, Brahma Jigyasa or Tattva Jigyasu, or hearing Krishna Katha, very seriously, so I can get the message and then I can bring the message inside and I can then live that message. My life becomes changed by that process of hearing properly. And then one can realize Krishna. Because Krishna decorates you with that realization. It's a relationship. It's not acquiring something. It's a loving relationship. Realizes the Absolute Truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from Vedanta Shruti. So where do you hear Vedanta Shruti from? From a broadcaster of that, from in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's translation and commentary. He's blunt. It's from the spiritual master. One hears. Or Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, one who is taking a service on of giving that which they have received in disciplic succession, Vedanta Shruti. So the context of what this Absolute Truth is and our relationship with the Absolute Truth, it's all measured by or guided by scripture. You don't just like invent something or imagine something or feel something and then that's it. It's guided by, very carefully guided by the scripture. My thought was going to some different people, but they have this very interesting sadhana that they made up. Very creative. Rather than listing what it is because we're being recorded here, very interesting. But it's not this descending kind, it's the made it up kind. While it's very interesting, it doesn't carry the same potency. The potency is in the descending kind. It's the mercy. And it's very personal. So the seriously inquisitive person needs to connect with that, which is descending through the line of disciplic succession and submit oneself to that, receive that, bring that inside and live by it. Here's what Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport for text 12. Devotional service, which is based on the foreground of full knowledge combined with detachment from material association and which is fixed by oral reception of the Vedanta Shruti, is the only perfect method by which the seriously inquisitive student can realize the Absolute Truth, which was described in text 11. So it's now here's the means. It was spoken of before, but now it's drilling down and being very specific. Go through a little bit of commentary of our acharyas. These verses are important, so there's lots of commentary. Sridhar Swami, one of the foremost commentators of Srimad Bhagavatam, has described this verse as elaborating on the tattvam. So Vedanta tat katva vidas tattvam yajjanam advayam tattvam. Vam means ness, like truthness, like the quality of truth. The quality of truth, that which truly possesses the quality of truth, is to be achieved, can be achieved, by unswerving devotion alone. That is, say the opposite. Some other process or even swerving devotion, like intermittent, anishtita bhakti, unsteady devotion, one isn't going to realize. But as one comes to the stage of unswerving devotion, nothing but the object of Krishna, that is, we become attached to Krishna. So there can be diversity of how people live their lifestyles. That's fine. But the object being Krishna, not a mix. Not the two-pocket program, but just Krishna. As that, because of attraction to Krishna, then one will realize Krishna. Prabhupada spoke the same thing to John Lennon during that Tottenhurst visit that Prabhupada made to his whatever mansion or his estate. It was planned to be a 1 month visit because they were, the Beatles were at that time like looking around, you know, who's got the truth. So there's transcriptions of that, the dialogue at that time, but the recording is amazing because you can hear the tone of these very successful people, very bright, very creative, and a little bit of a challenging spirit, saying, you know, Swamiji, how do we know that your translation of Bhagavad Gita is the best? I accept Krishna, but I want to know, like, who can tell me about Krishna? Whose translation of Bhagavad Gita is best? And what I get is, you know, I've got the answer, I've got the answer, I've got the answer. And everyone's saying they got the answer. So how do I make that judgment? Prabhupada answered it each time very succinctly, and he kept asking the same question. And, you know, Yoko Ono was kind of like, you know, the pulling the strings. She was less submissive than he was, like, out there. So at one point Prabhupada said, if in fact you accept that Krishna is the personality of Godhead, pause, subtext, I know you don't, he didn't say that. If you accept that Krishna is the personality of Godhead, whose translation would you want to read? Then he answered the question. Someone who is always thinking about Krishna, someone who is always serving Krishna, their whole life is simply Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. That person is going to know Krishna, and they can tell you what Krishna's words are and what his message that he wants to deliver is. That person can tell you. So it's the same idea here. We're exclusive. That sounds fanatical. You know, people don't like fanaticism. Fanaticism has a problem. But that when one is firm, based on scripture, that's good. It's not only good, it's necessary in order to get realization of the absolute truth. Otherwise, we're kind of like, you know, riding in a boat and you don't have a rudder. That's a problem. You got to have a rudder. What direction do you want to go in? And then you go in that direction. So this, the metaphor that Prabhupada uses of the boat that has a good captain and favorable breezes to get to the other side, the good captain is the spiritual master. The favorable breezes are the instructions that come from the scripture. Then you're safe. You can get to your destination. So there has to be this submission or this connection to the source of Vedanta Shruti, not just make it up as you go along. The sadhana and the conclusions and I feel and, you know, what's going on in the spiritual marketplace today is very interesting. All over the place. I met some college students about a week ago. Like eight and nine days ago. And there's a lot of interest. This is a little plug for college programs. There's a lot of interest these days on college campuses, or say in youth in America today, like, you know, American people that are searching for spirituality, and a lot of it's going to Eastern spirituality and meditation and yoga. So at a program, after the program, this was the University of Illinois, about four young Americans came up and they were like, I'm really seeking and I want guidance. Can you help me? Wow. You know, instead of like plying people and twisting their arm and trying to make it real easy, here they are saying, how do I get guidance? But then the next moment, they're describing the spiritual marketplace that they're like fascinated with. And one of them was describing, yeah, I've been doing meditation, but, you know, I really have a hard time. There are moments when I can experience something, and there's like, there's this higher consciousness, and I want to stay there, I want to be there and stay there, but it doesn't endure for very long. How can I go there and stay there? So another one said, oh, there's this device, it's kind of like, in the right ear it's got this vibration, and that ear it's got that vibration, and it helps you meditate. Oh yeah, tell me about it, where do I get one of those devices? The spiritual marketplace is, yeah, it really works. I've been, you know, for the last week I tried it. Real steady with my sadhana. Whole week I did one thing for a whole week. And while the opportunity is great, the options are, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the civilization of cheaters and cheated. While people want the real thing, they're so conditioned to the marketplace, to supermarket living, that, you know, getting the real thing and paying the price for the real thing, like surrender to Krishna and surrender to the representative of Krishna and etc. Austerities they don't mind, but you know, it's Kali Yuga has taken people so far away from what is really the standard. So the Bhagavatam doesn't mess around. This is the standard. And it applies in our present day. It's not just something ancient that doesn't work anymore. It applies. It's effective. In his Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami explains, reaching back to the previous texts, that the common sense of the fruit of Dharma is artha, as in Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So when Dharma is performed and artha is generated, he refers in this case to the previous verse that says it's for self-preservation or to preserve one's life. So what's important is to understand, what is life? What is it that you're preserving? Is it that you're preserving sense gratification, or are you preserving life? The purpose of life is not to attain wealth or to attain heavenly planets, prosperity of this or the next life. It's apavarga. It's to enable you to carry on this quest, this search for the absolute truth, or more specifically, to facilitate your devotional service. For that purpose, Krishna supplies to facilitate our devotional service. And we should be thankful, grateful, and accept in that spirit Krishna supplying. Not my work is supplying and then I have what I do for devotional service to Krishna. That's also part of our devotional service to Krishna. Krishna is taking care of self-preservation so that the mission of life is possible. Several times, one other reference here is that several times Jiva Goswami is making this one-to-one equation of bhakti is attraction for hearing and chanting. Attraction for hearing and chanting is our devotion. It is our bhakti. And one who gets a little bhakti, a little attraction, then the object becomes attractive. Krishna. Not just what we feel when we join kirtan, kind of what goes on in the yoga circuit. They like kirtan. They have no idea why they like it. They like it. It's musical. Somehow has a nice feel to it. But being attracted to Krishna is not their goal. They want to feel good. and they feel good, so they go to kirtan. But the Bhagavatam is teaching, it's the object. Jiva Goswami is highlighting, laser pointing this essential component, Vishvakshena Kata Ruchi. It's the object by the process one becomes drawn to Krishna. And as we become drawn to Krishna, knowledge of Krishna will awaken, and detachment from worldly association also follows. So this is the how to realize the absolute truth. Sridhar Swami says this is the culmination of religion. So any other thing that one might do, just like any one of us, what we were doing before we were practicing Krishna consciousness was something. You know, we could have an interesting survey and see what some things we were all doing. But the fruit of that something is to be engaged in what we're doing now. And it's not like what we were doing before is trash. It's to help us come to what we're doing now. It helps. Ultimately, it's that didn't create this. It was the association of Prabhupada and his teaching that brought us to this. But the fruit of that is this. Paradharma, or this focus upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and hearing and chanting about him and carrying out various forms of service unto him. In consciousness of, this is for Krishna, this is for the satisfaction of Krishna. That's the fruit. That's what real dharma is meant. It's the goal. So it becomes the means and the goal at the same time. Text 13, the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Daivi Varnashram is the message here. It's not advocating especially that one should take up the Varnashram system. It's advocating especially that the Personality of Godhead is the goal. Atak pumbir dvija shresta varnashrama vibhagashaha svanus tatasya dharmasya samsidhir haritoshanam haritoshanam. The Lord should be pleased. That's a nice motto or way of life. The Lord should be pleased. Let my life be that which, or by which the Lord is pleased. Let me make that offering to him. Whatever my duties are, that he should be pleased. Haritoshanam. So, what's my duty? Haritoshanam. And there are various, whatever other, the little things that one should do or not do, the rule, the vidhis, or the niyamas, the things to do, the things not to do. It's all for one purpose. Krishna should be pleased. As Nectar Devotion describes, out of all the rules and regulations identified there, there's one purpose behind all the rules and regulations. Always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. That's a nice rule. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. And that leads into, text 15, just come back to 14 for a moment, but text 15, who would not develop attraction for topics of the Lord, remembrance of whom, like a sword, will cut the knots of karma. So this remembrance, always remembering Krishna, never forgetting Krishna as the goal of our duties or our life, it's a sword. Krishna gives us this sword. And what do we do with the sword? Cut the knot of fruitive disposition. My dear devotees, that knot is very difficult to cut. We bring it with us into devotional service. We want something. It's almost like, what's life without wanting something? I'll become a zombie. Or what's life without wanting something? I can't relate to it. But so it's not desire becomes zero or anesthetized, but the desire is to please Krishna. And when the desire to please Krishna becomes awakened by the process of hearing and chanting, we're given this sword that cuts that fruitive intention. It's just for Krishna. It's love instead of me. And there's a very nice description of this by Jiva Goswami in his Sandarbhas. He says that if you can recall the process of creation, Mahavishnu glances, there's this pradhan state, there's like undifferentiated total material energy called pradhan. Mahavishnu sees, this is the reflection of his internal potency. Rama Devi is his internal potency. And then there's this reflection of her, Chaya Devi, or Pradhan. And she wants to serve, but she doesn't have any service. So Mahavishnu knows that she wants to serve and doesn't have some service, so he gives her some service. He gives her some service by the agency of his glance. Effortless. Doesn't even have to lift a pinky. He just glances. And by his glance, living entities enter into pradhan, along with the time energy. And what's the... when that contact happens, the living entity... Jiva Goswami explains this. The living entity contacts pradhan. The material elements start to separate out, they differentiate from this like a big warehouse that's a big mess, undifferentiated stuff. Things start to appear. And the first thing that appears is our dear friend, false ego. First thing. Then the living entity is there with his false ego, or her false ego, and you get activity in false ego. You get bodies, then you get activities. So it's like domino, or you know, cause and effect. One thing following the next thing. And once you're caught in that program, how do you get out? You ever thought about it? I've thought about it. What's a nice devotee to do? Krishna addresses it in Bhagavad Gita in the third chapter. If you do something and there's bondage to what you do, then possibly an option is just don't do anything. But you can't not do anything because you're a soul, you're active. And then as soon as you do something, there's bondage. You know, damned if you do and damned if you don't. So what do? Well, you take up the process that's recommended in Chapter 3, Bhagavad Gita. You offer the fruits of your activity to the Supreme. Okay, we're doing that. We're offering the fruits of our activity to the Supreme. But I still feel I'm in bondage. I don't know about you, but what to do about that feeling of in bondage? I'm not... It doesn't feel right. Sometimes it feels a little right, but there's lots of times it doesn't feel right. Something's not right. Just like Vyasadeva, that dissatisfaction after doing what he did. He wrote all the Vedas. What little service do we have compared to what Vyasadeva did? And he felt despondent, this pinch, because he hadn't sufficiently glorified Krishna directly. So maybe that's something we should think about too. How to directly glorify Krishna. And by that process, there's attachment to Krishna and knowledge and detachment from the rest that comes from this devotional service. And Krishna puts in our hand this sword. We can cut that knot. He doesn't do it. We can do it. He wants us to do it. Krishna, you do it. No, you do it. Here's this sword. There's false ego. Go ahead. Oh, my false ego. Yes, your false ego. Here's the sword. And if we act in that way, it's not like we lose our existence, or we lose our individuality, or we lose our free will, or we lose anything that's essential to the soul. We lose our implication in matter, this fruitive tendency that I want to do devotional service because I want something for me. I mean, I'm so used to having a contract for everything that I do. I do this, and the other person does that. And that's my relationships with people. It's sort of contractual. What's that relationship where I just serve, and I have no dictation for what I want back? That's devotional service. That's the kind of devotional service that's being described in these verses. So where the next session is going is just like Lord Chaitanya describes in Shikshastakam 2, I understand the benefit, the glory of, in this case, it's the holy name. Or, I understand the benefit, the glory of selfless service. But I'm stuck. I don't have a taste for the very process itself. What to speak of, take the sword and use it. What do I do? So that's, the next verses are describing giving the answer to that question, how the whole process of bhakti unfolds. So, coming attractions is verses 16 through 21 or 22. They're describing that unfolding of the process of bhakti. On all of that is a commentary or further elaboration on texts 6 and 7. Savai Pung Sang Paro Dharmo and Vasudeve Bhagavati. And the whole of the Bhagavatam is further expanding those things. But we're given, it's like an anatomy class, we're given how does devotional service work? If you want to know how it works, here's how it works. Here's where you can get stuck, and here's how you can get unstuck. But you have to want to get to the other side. Not just like bring your baggage with you and be comfortable. Complacency doesn't work in paradharma. One has to keep going towards the goal. Be clear what the goal is and proceed step by step. And impetus for the proceeding is also being given because of what that state of consciousness is. I'm going to read what Prabhupada writes in the purport of text 15, this sword that cuts the knot of fruitive intention. Therefore, any sensible man, I see some sensible men and women here, who is above the average man with a poor fund of knowledge must constantly remember the personality of Godhead by hearing about him, glorifying him, by remembering him, and by worshipping him always without cessation. That is the perfect way of devotional service. The Goswamis of Vrindavan who were authorized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach the bhakti cult rigidly followed this rule and made immense literatures of transcendental science for our benefit. Just a little appreciation of the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad means beautiful. The beauty of this beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam. Here we're getting this like really nice core message. So still in this first canto, we'll go way to the 19th chapter, the last chapter, where Maharaj Parikshit has met Shukadeva Goswami. He's appreciated his good fortune. He's presenting some question before Shukadeva Goswami, and he's asking two questions, and one of them is this question. What is a person to do? What is that most important thing for them to hear, chant, and always remember? Well, the answer has already been supplied. The Bhagavatam is simply Vistarani, is expanding this core understanding. So what we're doing this Thanksgiving weekend is going to the core understanding. And then the Purana, the history, is here's where that core understanding is embellished with a nice historical event where a really quality person, Maharaj Parikshit, is asking the same question that Suta Goswami has already answered. And Shukadeva Goswami is going to give the answer. In fact, that's how Suta Goswami knew the answer, because he heard it already from Shukadeva Goswami. And he's now presenting it in a very concise manner. That's the foundation upon which the whole of the Bhagavatam rests, these principles. Then you can unpack the principles and pack them again, and you package it a little differently, but it's the essence. This is like, the vibration is very powerful. If we capture that vibration and bring it into the heart, if we're speaking of the soft heartedness, let it in and let it vibrate inside, your devotional service will flourish. It's again like this metaphor of a seed. It's got this hard shell. Let some moisture inside, let it seep in, and the life will germinate. The soul that's within that seed, the life of devotional life, the exhibition of the activities of devotional life will be nurtured from that life. The life is bhakti, love, and the expression of that love in the form of loving service, nurtured by the hearing and chanting. But the purpose behind that hearing and chanting, let's be very clear, is to awaken a loving attraction for Krishna. And it's not something else. The something else's will happen. Krishna will decorate those something else's. His promise is there, and he keeps his promise, particularly with his devotee. He upholds the word of his devotee. Because his devotee is speaking on Krishna's behalf. Do this, and Krishna will take care. Krishna will keep that word. It's the loving family of Krishna. We're invited. Step in. Here is Srila Jiva Goswami's commentary from the Sandarbhas on this particular verse 15. Who will not hear about Krishna, who saves mankind from the greatest misery? All people, according to the positions, can focus the mind on Krishna. So, it can be done, but we will all have the experience to focus the mind on Krishna, chanting Krishna's name. Give me something else to do. Maybe a little service, or maybe a little, you know, something. You know, I'll come back to that one later. But that's that cultivation of fixing the mind. When we can accomplish that, the It's very powerful. We feel it. We need to keep applying ourselves in this all-around picture of devotional service, our duties of life, dedicated to Krishna with mindfulness of who we're serving. I'm going to go back to text 14. Sorry for jumping ahead, but the connection was so strong. Tasmat ekena manasa. Tasmat means therefore. So it's like, this is a summary statement. Tasmat ekena manasa. Very clear. One-pointed, one-minded, just like vyavasayatmika buddhi. Ekena manasa. Bhagavan satpatam patihi. Shrotavya kirtitavya shadyeya pujas cha nityada. Forget where I was seeing this. Satvatam patihi. Sat means eternal. Satvam, that's the devotee that has this quality of attachment. Satvatam patihi, Krishna, that's Krishna. He's the pati, he's the protector of his devotee. And the devotee feels protected by the protector. And when you feel protected, you feel sheltered, you feel safe, you can be so much more productive, happy. And, you know, with all the things that you want to do, you're able to do them so much better. It's like the principle of cow protection. Prabhupada speaks about this in terms of New Vrindavan, but I had the direct experience with Gita Nagari. When the New York temple bought the Gita Nagari farm, it was very far from New York. The reason it was purchased was the land was so good. It's in the Amish country, it's like super land, super earth. Agricultural potential is huge, so that's the reason it was purchased. But there wasn't a person in charge of the farm, because Prabhupada had said to do it like this. So Paramananda, who was in New Vrindavan and wasn't getting along so well with Kirtananda, he agreed to be the in charge of Gita Nagari. And he thought, okay, this is a challenge. We're in the middle of Pennsylvania, and people may not so much appreciate having a Hare Krishna community right in their midst. So I want to do some things that will help people accept us. So one of the things that he decided to do was he enrolled in the state fair, where part of the state fair, besides the midway and all that stuff that kids like, there's farm production and farm animals and, you know, horses and stuff. That's what it started. Then it became all this commercial. So he took cows to be enrolled in the competition for cows at the state fair. And every year he won first, second, and third for like several years running. So the farmers were like, what's going on here? This Krishna guy, he's winning first, second, and third every year. So they went and asked him, what's the secret? How do you win first, second, and third every year? He said, I don't know if you're going to want to hear the answer. No, tell us the answer. Well, I'm not sure you want to hear it. No, tell us the answer. Okay, I'll tell you the answer. We take care of the cows. And because we take care of the cows, they're very happy. And because they're very happy, they're the most healthy, and they produce 3 to 4 and even 5 times the amount of milk of your cows, because they're not happy. Because they know what's going to happen after they stop giving milk. They're finished. think, can't be. But it's true. It's not only true in Gita Nagari, the same thing I found out later is the same thing happening in New Vrindavan. The volume of production of the cows. And it's the same for the land. Prabhupada writes about this in the first canto. The land produces bountifully. If there's restriction of necessities, it's not because there's overpopulation. It's people are treating Mother Earth so badly, she's restricting. It's Kali Yuga. Same thing happened during the time prior to Prithu Maharaj with King Vena. He was such a nasty fellow. Earth began restricting. And Prithu was, you know, supply. Okay, I'll supply, but I was restricting before. And our lives are like that too. If we feel, it's just natural. If you feel safety and shelter and protection and love, your productivity is so many times more. And devotees in the workplace amaze people by their productivity. Not just because, you know, they're smart. There's something going on. I'll tell another little story. There's a devotee in New York who, at the time before they disbanded the Board of Education for the New York City Public Schools, that was a really brilliant stroke, they had a Board of Education. And in the Board of Education, there was a devotee who was overseeing all the guidance counseling departments of all the public schools of the whole New York City public school system. Would you like that job? Do you think that would be an easy job to have? Like guidance counseling for one school and overseeing all the guidance counselors for all schools? Not an easy job. Very challenging. And this devotee had a supervisor. And the supervisor, it's a little anecdotal, but the supervisor was the same age as me, and I found out later, because she came to my office to meet me, that I have bad attitude towards the Hare Krishna group. Because when I was in college, and there was this terrible war in Vietnam going on, the Hare Krishna guys were out there like playing their tambourines and singing and you know, carrying on like la 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 land. You know, they're copping out. You got to get out there and, you know, like fight for the cause of injustice or against injustice. And, you know, I had bad regard for the devotees. So after some time, she found out, she noticed that this member of her staff was increasing in her productivity like anything. And she commented, she said, "What's going on in your life? It used to be that I would give you something that would normally take a week, and it would take a week. But now I give you something, and you're done in a day, and you're doing three other projects that I didn't even give you yet, and you're sitting there reading your book. And you're peaceful. When in the office, people are tearing their hair out and biting each other's back and complete stress and anxiety. And what's going on?" And the devotee said, "I don't think you want to know." She said, "What do you mean, I don't think you think I want to know?" She said, "Well, I've become involved in the Krishna organization." She said, "Oh, no. It's a bad organization. You know what I feel about that." And da 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 da. He said, "Well, you asked me, so I'm just telling you. Well, let me see if I can convince you to give it up." So she was working on her to give it up. And then some time passed, and the supervisor heard that her husband had cancer. Stressed out to the max. So finally she broke down and said, "You know, you're so peaceful, you have some spiritual contentment. Can you help me? I need that right now in my life." She said, I can do that. But where my contentment comes from is from my teacher, from my spiritual master. She said, no, I can't do that. But some time passed, and she then brought her supervisor to meet me and told the whole story and said, you know, this is amazing what's happening with my team member here. So just as an example of when you're very sincere and serious in the process of hearing and chanting and building your relationship with Krishna, your productivity, you don't get distracted. You're doing what you do for Krishna. And it's so much more powerful than doing what you do because of all the other reasons that people do what they do. Besides, you're more satisfied, you're more effective. Krishna empowers because you're doing it for Him. Yoga kshema vahamyam. It just works that way. That's what relationship with Krishna means. Even in duties, the worldly parts of duties of life. So, therefore, this tendency that we all have of hearing and speaking and remembering something, let Krishna become at the center of that. And then the next verse, Krishna, seeing that one has thus committed to Krishna, here's the sword. Go ahead. There's your false ego. Cut. And that the sword is remembrance of Krishna. It's not like, you know, you have to go slay a dragon or something. It's just remember Krishna. And that remembrance of Krishna is the sword. And that remembrance of Krishna dissolves false ego. Kapila Dev teaches the same thing in the third canto in his teachings of Sankhya. The process of bhakti alone not only brings the mind under control, here's some great news. The material mind dissolves. No more mind problems. Yay! But the price is real, genuine, sincere, sustained efforts in devotion to Krishna. The means is hearing and chanting. And that awakens bhakti. And bhakti, as it grows, dissolves the material covering, subtle, and ultimately also the gross. So, spiritual mind, spiritual intelligence, spiritual senses, spiritual purpose, by this very process. So now the conclusion of this morning class again is Duradaivam Idrishya Mahajani Nanduraga. I don't have sufficient attraction for this process. Yes, I'm comfortable with it, but I'm not tasmat e kena manasa. I'm not there. What to do? Make sure you come back after breakfast. We'll hear what Sutta Goswami says what to do. Okay, so any comments or questions? That's part of it. You're asking, is reading part of that little list? And I said yes. hearing and chanting and reading. It's part of Shravanam Kirtanam.
But is the highest step is that chanting and hearing, more hearing, is it the highest step?
It's the means. It's the means. As is reading, a means. It's an activity. So don't get stuck on, is reading also hearing? Read also. And hear also. When your ideal is when you're reading, there's someone to discuss with. Like we're doing right now. Or in your bhakti riksha groups, or whatever the format is. Sometimes it's telephonic, because people are busy and they're remote, so they read together. Whatever the method, it's hearing the message, receiving the message, by sound or by reading it. Okay? Someone else? In the back? Oh. Okay, go ahead.
So we talk about hearing and chanting, what about practical devotional service?
What about it?
Cooking, cleaning.
If it flows, it's not like only hear and chant and don't clean. Or only clean and don't hear and chant. That's not, one thing is, it's not exclusive, one thing excludes the other thing. But for the bhakti process, just like chapter 12 of Bhagavad Gita, if one is not attracted to the regulations of bhakti yoga, then one can work for me. But it's not like one who is attracted to the regulations of bhakti yoga doesn't work for Krishna. But they work for Krishna combined with hearing and chanting. Practical service is essential. And it's to be combined with hearing and chanting. Hare Krishna. Are you asking on a personal basis, or you're asking on a universal basis? Huh?
I want to be for
myself. More hearing and chanting, please. But that's not new to you. Your service propensity is so strong and very much appreciated that those who very much appreciate you and your service spirit and attitude wish for you, myself included, that there's a stronger component of hearing and chanting. So your question was prioritized, and rather than like detail it, just put in the greater priority position than it presently is, the hearing and chanting dimension of devotional service, along with the practical devotional service that you're very good at doing. Is that all right? Okay. Hare Krishna. A very simple way is two things. Blocks of time and guidance. You know, there are certain things that are important to do every day. Like take a bath, eat, work, chant. You know, so there are temple service, there are things that are family, there are things that are important. So you, in the course of a week, you block off some time for each of those things. And it's not like it's more important that you hear and chant than you bathe. So prioritizing is, they're all important, and put a proper commensurate chunk of time each in your week for each of those things, day and week. And then the other is guidance. Take have some dialogue with persons guiding you in your Krishna consciousness and have them review your schedule and then, you know, stay with it. And if they say, you know, a little more of this, a little less of that, or what about this other thing, then you end up with a nice schedule and, you know, blocks of time you follow it. That's how you set priority. All things are important in devotional service. Yes.
When Mahavishnu has plans, Chayadevi, his major role was created, right?
Pradhan, yeah.
So, why actually does it mean that all these jivatmas which are with Mahavishnu or has a desire to enjoy from other than Krishna?
Yes. There are. The vast majority of living entities are not in that category. But there are some. And those some are caught in this cycle. And Mahavishnu is, you know, assisting them and giving them something to do by giving the Chaya Devi something to do. That something to do is trying to become enjoyers of matter, which they can't do, but trying. So he's providing that facility. At the same time, the means to rectify that mistaken free will choice. Okay? Okay. Anyone else? Okay. We're done. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah. So let's move on to Swami Maharaj ki.